Let's pray and we'll go. God, we love you. Thank you so much for just bringing all these folks together from kind of all over the country, really. And God, may we leave refreshed, recharged, and really refocused on your kingdom, the gospel, and taking it to students, impacting lives, impacting families, changing schools, changing churches for the sake of your kingdom. And so, God, just go before us now and encourage our hearts. We pray in your name. Amen. Well, like I said, man, I'm excited to be with you guys. And I've tell you a little bit about myself. I've been on staff at a church in Tampa, Florida, for almost 10 years now, at my church. And so it's been pretty wild to be there that long. In fact, I've followed a series of guys who've been there no longer than 3 years. And so it's been about like 15 years of guys leaving after 2 to 3 years. And so for me to be there 10 years is kind of like, a miracle in the life of our church. But it's been a really, really cool deal. And, we've seen a lot of change and a lot of different things happen in that stretch. And God's just been really faithful to us. And my wife and I have, we've been married 10 years. We've been on staff 9.5 years. And we've got 5 kids in our home. And so we've got a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 6, a 4, and a 3-year-old. So it's all really crammed together, which makes life even more interesting doing ministry and coming home to that, and which is, it's pretty wild. And my house is like a full-time petting zoo, basically. I mean, there's like weird noises and smells coming from everywhere in my house all the time. And dude, it's just a trip, man. And how many of you guys have kids? Are you guys married, kids, and stuff? Yeah, so you know the whole dynamic that brings into ministry is exciting but challenging, and dude, it's a blast around my house. Not too long ago, well, our church has this big like atrium kind of gatheria deal, and for whatever reason, they built these two like weird fountain things on the sides, and this was not that long ago, and. Our college minister, when we moved in the building, he's an idiot, but he threw some change into one of the fountains just as a joke, and now like there's all this change in the fountain. So if you want to come to church and make a wish, you do it at our church, and it's really, really dumb. But one Sunday, I'm across like our gatheria atrium, and we're talking to people, you know how it is. And so my son runs off, and you know they're comfortable just to run off. And so next thing I know, I see him from across the atrium, like 100 yards away, and he's face first in this fountain, you know, and I'm like embarrassed, but trying not to like draw more attention to it. And I'm like, "Hey, get out of there." And so finally I'm like, "Hey, get out of there." And he stands up soaking wet, yelling. I'm like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm getting money for Chuck E. Cheese," you know? And so I'm like, "Oh, awesome." So that's like my world and trying to balance ministry and family. And, man, it's really a joy, and, it's really, really exciting. But, man, we're going to talk just for a little bit today, and as we talk about ministry, because there's so many components, so many different things, and so many things you're going to hear this week about ministry. But man, just really want to focus on specifically kind of the things that we do, kind of the bread and butter stuff. I mean, we can get real philosophical and do a whole lot of other stuff, but just really practically, man, how are we using the things that we're already using, but using them well for the kingdom and for the gospel? And let me just ask you this, as we kind of just jump in this thing together, as you think about your ministry, your context, your city, your church, and your student ministry, where you're at, and you think about, you know, all the things that you do, I just want you to think about this one thought. What do you want your student ministry to be known for? All right? I mean, what do you want your ministry with all the events, all the programming, all the things that you're doing, all the meetings, all the interactions, what do you want to be known for? Actually, probably a better question than that is if you think about the campuses that you impact and that you have influence over, the community that you're in, what do they know you for? If you were to ask them and go around to schools, go around to principals, go around to community, in your community, say, hey, what are we known for? Would the two even match up with the two answers? Because the reality of what we're doing and what we need to be doing is taking the gospel out of our building, right? And out of our Wednesday night and Sunday morning programming and impacting and influencing campuses and a community around us. And so we've got to really ask ourselves, man, what is it that we're known for? What do we really want to be known for? Is it gospel-centered? I did a funeral not too long ago, just recently. In fact, it was that was a guy who had really like next to no connection in our church, but it was kind of one of those things, you know, it's like they have a family member who visited like 10 years ago. They had another place to go. So we're like, hey, would you do the funeral? And we have a thing in our church called like Pastor of the Week. And some of you guys may have this. It's like, it sounds like you win a prize or like a parking spot on Sunday, but it basically means you get to carry like the emergency phone when somebody dies or whatever. And so, so I had it this particular week and this guy, you know, dies and his family calls. So we do the funeral. So I'm meeting with his family. Don't know any of them. Of course, you know, kind of getting familiar with who you are. Tell me your story. Tell me about your dad. Tell me about your grandfather. And it was wild because, you know, if you've done funerals, you've been around folks, especially lost people, it's like, you know, they're telling me, okay, well, tell me about the guy. Well, he was a good man, you know, he was a good dad, he worked hard. Okay, well, what else? You know what I mean? It's like, well, you know, and it's kind of kept going back to the same thing. Well, he was a good man, he, you know, he worked hard, and I'm thinking, you got anything else, or we're going to need to like add a couple more songs to this funeral, you know what I'm saying? And it was interesting, and it got me thinking, okay, what about my own life? I mean, if my family was to describe me, I mean, what would they know me as, right? And as ministers, man, what are we going to be known for? But in the same way, about our ministry, what are we going to be known for? And I can't escape this verse in Acts chapter 20. I'll just read it to you. And he's talking about Paul. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, in verse 24, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel. And can I, let me just say this on the front end and just preface this whole thing by telling you, man, if we're not known, our ministries, our programming, and our events, if it's not centered around, if it's not purpose behind, if it's not driven and motivated by the gospel and the gospel alone, why are we doing it, right? I was talking to Troy, who's kind of emceeing here, he was telling me about a buddy of his who's at a church, and he says, man, because we're looking to hire some staff, and he says, man, I got a guy that's at a church, and he's probably not going to be there very long because he's basically at a place where his leadership and his parents and people around him are saying, hey, listen, you don't need to do anything new. We don't need to go out and do anything in the community. Just plan events, do fun stuff, keep our students here entertained. And so he's like, that's not what God's called me to do. And but man, isn't it funny how you look at our calendars, we look at all the things that we do, and if you really to go through it, how much of it is really centered around the gospel, right? And being really effective in what we're doing. And so when I first came on staff at our church at Idlewild and about 9.5 years ago, I'll tell you what our ministry was known for. It was known for being event driven. I mean, we did events like there's no tomorrow. We did them big. We did them frequently. And it was like the rope that we would just like keep swinging from rope to rope of event to event. It was every 6 weeks. I mean, my boss, who was the student pastor I came on, I mean, we were rigid about it. We had, you know, details. We had it mapped out. They were done very, very well, you know. And we had lots of students coming to all these events. And in fact, we had lots of decisions, you know, students giving their hearts to Christ or walking an hour or whatever, you know, at all of these events. But the lull in between each event, it was kind of like, okay, we had, you know, tons of people at this event, but what happened like the Sundays and Wednesdays in between and the small group stuff interaction? And then we would swing to the next rope of a next big event and have hundreds more come. And it was like, if we didn't keep swinging from rope to rope, event to event, our ministry would like die, you know? And it was kind of like that steroid injection every 6 weeks to keep us going. But that was what we were known for. And that's what our ministry was built around. Well, you know that that's not healthy, right? We would all agree with that. But you know, the other side of that is I feel like there's in our culture today, you know, some of the books we read and the speakers that are out there, we've kind of gone to the other extreme that's talking, you know, let's be, you know, really radical in these areas. Let's be really family driven in these areas to where we're going to totally abandon programming an event. And that's not practical either, right? I mean, we're going to use events. We're going to use programming in our ministries and what we do. But the question really is, how do we do it well, right? How do we do it effectively, and how do we do it to where, man, the gospel is on center stage with everything that we do? It's not our event or our speaker or our cool little logo and design stuff that's going out, but man, how is it that Jesus is front and center in our ministry and all that we're doing? And so here's really what I want to do in the next few minutes, and man, I want to hear from you guys, and let's dialogue and ask some questions, but Now, I just want to give you some really practical things that I feel like have helped me over the years in doing events and programming, how we do it well, number one, right? Because we want to do it well and effective. But not only that, how do we do it to where it stays on point? And it fits within an overall strategy of our ministry rather than the other way around.
Just give me a context of you're the student pastor, and then you have senior high, junior high leaders. And what's your average worship attendance? What kind of context are we looking like? What size city?
We have, we're in Tampa. Our mailing address is Lutz, which is really dumb, but we're in Tampa area. And so we're in a large city, and we have, I'm the student pastor over our ministry. I'm currently the only student pastor in our ministry right now. We're looking to hire a middle school and a high school pastor right now. So we're in transition of staff. We have about 600 students in our ministry between middle school and high school, and made up of about 70 adult leaders between those two ministries that are helping us kind of go, and a couple of interns kind of thing that we're doing. We have a Sunday morning small group program that we do, which is our Bible fellowship hour, and we do small groups at 8, 9:30 and 11 o'clock hour, which is nuts. It's like having six student ministries all happening on Sunday mornings between middle school and high school. It's crazy. We have a Wednesday night, large group worship deal for students that we do, which is, separated and going on simultaneously as well. And then, do a lot of events and different things throughout the year. And so that's kind of our area. Our church is representative of probably about 20 different high schools. And so it's a very mixed area, and a lot of commuting from all over the city kind of to us and our ministry. So even a strong influence in one school, we have lots of people represent a lot of areas. So it's pretty wild. And not a lot of healthy churches or healthy youth ministries even really around us. And that's probably why we get the dynamics of, people from all over. And so that's kind of where we are. And we've seen God really stretch us and grow in a lot of areas in that process. And so, as we talk about using events and using programming and doing it very well, I would just tell you really four simple thoughts of that today. And the first one is this, is that we have to initiate, okay? And some of this is going to be very basic, and sometimes I need to be reminded of like fundamentals that I lose track of, but we've got to be the initiators of, gospel-centered ministry and those conversations and that planning and that type of strategy when we use programming and events. Because if you're looking around and waiting for, a senior pastor or an adult leader or somebody else to do that for you, it's not going to happen, right? I mean, they're looking at you, whether you're an intern, a part-time, a full-time, they're looking at you as the professional in that area, to initiate a ministry that's going to be gospel-centered and focused and that uses programming and events well in that strategy. And so, as you think about that, you have to be asking yourselves the question, how am I going to use events and programming, the things that I'm doing on my calendar to take a lost student to become a champion for Christ? I mean, what's my process? It's got to be bigger than a single camp, right? But what am I looking at my overall strategy? One of the speakers here, Jeff Borton, who's a buddy of mine, wrote a book called, him and a buddy wrote Simple Student Ministry. If you've never read that, it's a great book. You need to pick it up. And it's phenomenal, but just talks through that process. And we've got to think through that process of initiating a strategy and using those events and using our programming to get us there in that process. I think one of the worst things that we do in student ministry is we start that strategy by planning everything around our events, right? I mean, we look at a calendar and we go, okay, when am I going to put camp on the calendar? When am I going to put this? And then we add, all these three or four or five or however many big events that we do, and then we build everything else in and around it, right? And so immediately the whole thing gets a little bit out of balance. Immediately we're saying, okay, everything that we do really hinges on all this stuff, and let's cram, life in between it all, Now, I get that it takes a lot of planning and a lot of, bookings and things like that, I'm not saying you don't be in advance and do that, but we start there oftentimes when we look at our strategy rather than in there or use that as a part of our strategy, right? If you've read the whole Doug Fields thing, you know, purpose-driven youth and all stuff, we've adopted a lot of that same strategy of we want to be purposed in everything that we do in reaching, connecting, growing, you know, and serving, honoring, you know, God in our lives. And so what we do in our ministry is we look at our strategy and our overall student ministry within that light, that we want to go and say, listen, we want to reach students with the gospel. We want to connect them to each other, to adult leaders. We want them to grow in their walk, and we want them to serve. And so what we do is we look at our year at a high, high level and say, okay, does everything fit a part of that strategy? We started a thing in our church, and out of those conversations that we started having years ago, now all of our ministries adopt this, but in our calendar planning for the year, we have a simple worksheet that just breaks everything down into those categories, and we literally put everything that we do into a year into those areas. And you have to go through it and look at it. And how many of you guys, you've probably already done, you're responsible for planning, budgeting, doing all that stuff for your yearly stuff, right? I mean, how many of you guys, you've already done all that stuff for 2012, right? Yeah. So hopefully you're still working on, you don't have all the details, but you're off the ground, right? And so we do that stuff. And one of the things that we'll look at and we'll say, man, listen, I want to put everything into those areas. And if you don't do it, if you don't organize that way, I challenge you to look at everything you do, your events, your Wednesday night programming, your small group stuff, little fellowships you plan, everything you do, and lay it over the course of a grid that says, listen, man, what are my evangelistically driven, my reach deals, my connect deals, my grow deal, my serve deal, or whatever terms you want to use for it, and just take a fresh look at it and go, okay, God, where are we light in some areas? Where are we strong in other areas? Because we started doing this, and in fact, just even this past year, we did it again, and we laid out our whole ministry, and man, it's really revealing of where you get heavy in some areas and weak in other areas. And our ministry, we have a tendency, and part of it's my nature, is we have a tendency to get real bent on activities that are just evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. You know, I want to see students get saved. I want to see students give their heart to Christ. And so I'll have a tendency, if I'm not careful, I'll just plan another deal or add another deal, say, let's go do something, get a bunch of lost kids here, share the gospel. Nothing wrong with that. But what we started noticing is that we started getting really top heavy with that stuff. And as we were looking down this grid of our whole year, I started realizing we were really weak in the area of growth and development, you know? And so what we did was we dropped one of our big kind of reach event things, and we added on a new component of just apologetics, an apologetics Bible study that we started on Thursday nights. And it was pretty wild because we didn't even really promote it, you know. In fact, I was talking to Dr. Reed this morning. I said, listen, hey, we started this deal because we feel like students are hungry to be, you know, to raise the bar. And we've really haven't been feeding them that, you know, in our ministry. And we're looking at it and going, man, we're heavy in other areas. We're really light here. So we started this thing on a Thursday night and didn't really promote it like heavy, you know. It was just kind of, hey, here's this deal. If you're interested, come, you know. We didn't want to feel like a big, big event, but we said, just come to this deal if you're interested. It started with like 10 or 12 high school students, and it just keeps steadily growing. The last 4 weeks, we're at 30 students just by word of mouth. And it's wild because we're seeing what they're hungry for and what they're needing and where we've been out of balance in our ministry, right? And so all that to say, man, we've got to initiate a balanced approach to ministry that's purposed and strategic with everything that we're doing. And not only that, but we've got to even ask ourselves the question, man, does our budget reflect that stuff? When you look at your budget, whether it's big or small, does your budget lay over each of those categories? Not saying it has to be equal, but you know, you're going to spend your money on what's valuable to you. And is it balanced in that way? And so, again, all that to say, man, you've got to initiate that. We can talk more and philosophize more about that kind of stuff. But man, listen, as youth ministers, we've got to be professionals in that area. We've got to be budgeting. We've got to be working hard to get ahead, to be organized. And I think one of the biggest killers to ministry and creativity is just lack of planning. Right? How many of you guys, you ever feel like you're constantly wearing two different hats, one of the minister and one of a manager? You ever feel like that? Why do you think that's such a struggle for just all of us? A struggle for me, right? The balance of the two.
Because for me, it's, I mean, Right. You know what I'm saying? There's all the extra little things that you have to do just to manage everything that take away from what you're called to do and what you're passionate about, which is ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's a demand on us, right? I mean, you have a demand on you to be in meetings, to, you know, to return phone calls, to check your emails, to do all those types of things. But at the same time, you are called to be a minister of the gospel. You are called to equip others in the work, you know, in the work of ministry. So it's finding that balance to do it. And what I felt like over the years, doesn't matter if you're in a student ministry of 20 or 200, doesn't matter if you're in a ministry that, you know, is small and growing, or if you're in a, you know, a large ministry that's growing, the reality is that all of us have that tension. You know, you do. We just have it in different ways. And in fact, the larger your organization, the larger your ministry gets, probably the more and more those demands increase on you from a management side. But the harder we work in those areas, the more intentional we are in those areas to be efficient, to be purposed, to be effective, the more it's going to free us up to be the effective ministers that God's called us to be. Rather than like constantly just putting out fires on a management side of going, yeah, we got to do something for an event, or, you know, who do I need to call back later? But yet it starts stepping on your toes and go, man, when's the last time I've been on a campus, right? Because of that. And so there's that constant balance that says, man, listen, you've got to work hard. Take advantage of weeks like this where you get to get away, and you, instead of going back to your hotel room and vegging out, watching TV or doing whatever, relaxing, man, you've got an opportunity to be away and put the machine, you know, kind of in park and just evaluate. You know, spend some time evaluating and saying, okay, God, let me just look at my whole year and say, God, what is it that's really effective? What is it that's really gospel-centered and purposed and on point for you? We do a lot of that stuff with our budget. We do a lot of that stuff with our events and our programmings, just to make sure, man, that we are staying on point. And it means sometimes saying no to really good things and big events to say yes to other things. But I would just say, man, initiate that stuff. Initiate those conversations with your staff. Initiate that planning time to where you're constantly asking that question. And so, and not only that, but I would say, man, initiate prayer in your ministry. Initiate prayer with your students. Initiate prayer with your adult leaders, to where they feel like, man, listen, we are purposed together, and that that you're setting the pace for that. Let me ask you guys this: what are some things that for you are maybe barriers or struggles to your planning process? Maybe it's just you're not gifted at it, or you just hate it with a passion, or, you know, just circumstances at your church. What do you feel like are maybe barriers or struggles for you in that, just that planning process of being really strategic in what you do?
It's what you've already said, kind of like the balance of one or the other. I've worked with, like, through Young Life, with Club Beyond, and it's evangelism. Pull them in. Let's do something really extreme.
Yeah.
And then the kids aren't getting discipled, or like we have 12 kids in another place on the other side of the continent or country, to be completely honest. And discipleship, but like half these kids are homeschooled and don't even know anybody to bring.
Yeah.
And so they're not reaching out, and like the balance of, okay, how do I motivate these children to go out and, you know, join a sport or something, to meet people, to take what they've learned and share it. And then these other kids who, they come for the food and the games, and I'm like, are they really accepting this? And it's that balance.
Yeah.
Of focus. And I personally think that it's really just reevaluating it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I've witnessed as a volunteer for 5 years.
Right.
All in college. And it's just like, there's got to be a way. There's a happy median in here somewhere. I know that there is.
Hmm. It is, and I think sometimes we get married to an event, or we get married to, you know, a program, whether it's because it was really successful in the past, you know, and what we define as successful, you know, maybe needs to be reevaluated. But, you know, we have a lot of people coming to it, or we get married to it because it's comfortable and it's easy and we know how to do it and we've done it and we know what it takes just to pull it off again, rather than creating or doing something different. And man, and I would challenge you to say, listen, well, what are the things that, man, is it really what God's intending for us to use, you know, to utilize, and say no to some things to say yes to some other things. And not so much that we're driven by events. Man, if you're driven by the events, we're missing something. But man, really utilizing them to accomplish that goal of saying, God, I want to take law students to be, you know, followers of Jesus, and followers to where they're champions and giving their heart, you know, to Christ, to where they're selling out for the gospel, to where they're called to ministry. And, you know, we're seeing that just rise. And if your events don't fit into that vehicle that's taking you there, then really, why do you do it? Right? Or is there something better, or a different event, or a different program, or a different strategy that you can do to fit into that stuff? And so, and you've constantly got to be asking that. So the second question, or the second thought I would tell you is not only initiate, but probably just as important, if not more, is to communicate. I think one of the biggest reasons that we fail in the areas of events and our programmings and our student ministry is just lack of communication. Because many times for us as pastors and leaders, we've been like reading about things, we've been mulling it over, we've been praying about it, we've been talking about it with our spouses, you know, we've been thinking about changing this or adding this or creating this, and yet all of a sudden we've kind of like given birth to this brand new thing, and nobody else has the history with it that you do, but yet we have a great expectation of attendance and response and buy-in, right, to something that we've been dwelling and thinking and praying about forever and ever and ever, that everybody else is looking at brand new and going, I don't get it, or what do you want me to do with this thing? And sometimes we get, you know, really discouraged by that. And so, but man, we've got to communicate. Now, when I say communicate, I don't mean, you know, far beyond just, you know, dates and details and dollars and how to sign up. But man, we've really got to communicate the why behind what we do. Not only do we need to know it, and that's why we need to initiate those questions and those thoughts with ourselves first. Man, why do I do this event? What is the purpose? What is the main goal? But not only that, I've got to know it so that I can communicate the why behind what I do. And I would tell you on several different levels and several different groups of people that you need to communicate with. Number one is your pastor or pastors, okay? Whether you have one pastor that you answer to, or in our church we have, I think, 20 different pastors on our staff. But man, I try to communicate with my pastors so much so that they get sick of hearing me talking about student ministry. And I don't care, because I want them to know what's going on. And I'll give you a perfect example. We had we made a big change, a big shift in how we did high school camp about 4 years ago. And we went from kind of what I inherited to being a very discipleship kind of growth oriented week to, man, a very evangelistically driven week, where we wanted lost students to come, our students to be passionate about bringing their friends, and we want to see lots of students come to Christ in that week of camp. So we made a big shift in what we did. Well, the first 2 years after that shift, I just noticed that the attendance, the response was really poor. You know, it was bad. And we weren't seeing the growth. We weren't seeing those expectations. And not only that, but about 4 years ago, several of our pastors had students that were in our high school ministry still. And I remember looking around the table and walking out of staff meetings like angry, you know, and like bitter towards some of our pastors. They had no idea, but like I'm like, I hate you, but I'm not really. But I'm like bitter, because I'm like, dude, your own kid's not coming. They're going to a football camp, or they're, you know, staying home to work, or they scheduled some, you know, a class or whatever. And I'm like, dude, what are we doing? You know, and I remember getting like so frustrated to the point, until finally after the summer was over and kind of, you know, let off a little steam and I was all good, it hit me. I'm like, you know what? They don't really understand why we're doing it. You know, they don't understand why it's important to our ministry, how it fits into our strategy, why it's important for their son or daughter to be there. And so, man, we had to start getting right back to the top and saying, man, to our pastor and pastors, communicating the why behind we do camp, you know? And I remember that next year, really like months leading up to that next year, I just put it on the agenda of one of our pastor staff meetings. And, it, you know, I think it was like a couple weeks later before we got around to it. And it wasn't anything big. I didn't need anything from anybody. It was just a point of awareness where I sat down and said, hey, guys, listen, let me just show you my heart and my vision behind camp and why your student needs to be a part of it, and every student in our church needs to be a part of it. Man, and we saw a huge jump in attendance just from starting there and creating buy-in. But I would tell you, man, in your events, I mean, sometimes we go through the process of getting things approved with our leadership, and they go, okay, it's safe, it's, you know, it's not going to, you know, blow the church budget, you've got enough leadership, whatever, you know, and they've made sure you've done your checklist of transportation, all that stuff, but have you stopped and communicated really your heart behind it and the why? Because if your pastors aren't on board, if they can't communicate it to families they interact with and other leaders, it's going to hurt you. Right? They've got to understand the why. Second thing I would tell you is, man, it's to your leadership and your adult leaders, your volunteer staff. You've got to communicate more than, again, information, but you've got to communicate expectations and the purpose behind your events and programs. And you need to ask the question to yourself, listen, do they know why we do what we do? I remember doing a thing one time. I thought it would be fun. It was really depressing, but this was like 3 or 4 years ago. I remember writing down like, I think 5 or 6 different things that we do in our student ministry. It was a handful of events, a couple of like program. I put like Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights on there and, you know, in several of our events. And I remember an adult leader meeting, I had every one of them just kind of fill out an honest little survey. Why do we do this? And why do we do this? What is the main purpose? And again, we say we want evangelism, we want fellowship, we want, you know, growth and service. Okay, out of all those purpose categories, what do you feel like is the primary purpose of each of these things? Like, it was a little depressing because they were so off base on so many of the things that we were doing. And some of them, like small groups and when that we had been doing for so long, that I realized, man, they don't get it, you know? They don't really understand the primary purpose of why we're doing these things. And if that's the case, man, how are they ever going to be able to communicate it to a student, you know? Any of you guys have challenges and frustrations with leaders not coming to your weekly worship service, your student worship service? Or they're there, but they just stand in the back of the room like bouncers, intimidating every student, you know, like, put away the cell phone, whatever, right? And you're like, dude, I, and you'll gripe and moan at them, like, please sit down. Please go sit with students, or please stop standing in the back of the wall, you know, or just please come, you know, to the deal. And it's frustrating, right? But yet we want them to know what to do, but do they really understand the purpose behind it? Do they really understand your heart and the why you do that Wednesday night service? What's your primary goal and your objective? And then how does their responsibilities fit into that? There's a buddy of mine, Jeff Lovingood, who's a student minister now. He was my boss when I first started ministry. He's a student pastor at Long Hollow in Tennessee, absolute stud in youth ministry. And he said, listen, he says, if your leaders, if they know the why, they'll follow anyhow. If they know the why behind what you do, they'll follow anyhow. But they need to buy in. They need to understand the purpose. If they know the why, man, they'll follow anyhow and when you get there. And so you've got to keep sharing it over and over and over again. Sometimes you'll make yourself sick, but you've got to communicate that purpose. I read a book by Mark Miller, who is kind of one of the VPs of Chick-fil-A. It's called The Secret. It's kind of an old book. It's not like the Oprah Winfrey Secret book that she promotes, but it's a different book. And it's on leadership. It's a great book if you ever pick it up. And he's a godly man. And he said, you know, when it comes to sharing vision and communicating to leaders, he says, you've got to understand one principle, and that's this, that vision leaks, right? That vision leaks, and you've constantly got to keep pouring into that with your adult leaders. You may keep saying it over and over and over. Every time you're promoting your event and reminding, popping in on a leader meeting, sending out an email, just remind it to them. Hey, listen, just remind it. This is why we're doing what we're doing. This is what we want to see happen. This is how we are praying that we see God move, and this is how you can be a part of it. Right? So you've got to be communicating that. Not only that, but be really specific as you communicate your expectations and responsibilities to leaders. Because again, you can give them the why, but you've got to show them a lot of times the how. And if you want your events and your programmings to be effective, you've got to communicate that. We do a big event in, it's typically January. We moved it to February this year, and it's a real creative name. It's called Block Party, and so it's a really dumb event, but we have like all these inflatables and mechanical riding bulls and bonfires and stupid games and stuff that's all kind of in and around our church. And then halfway through the night, we bring everybody into the worship center and do a gospel presentation. It's really it. I mean, we'll have guests sometimes, you know, illusionists or whoever, whatever, and we'll change it up year to year. But it's a crazy deal. It's simple. It's a cheap event, you know, but we'll have 1,400 students come to it, you know, and we'll have people all over our campus, a lot of moving parts, a lot of different stations, inside and outside, food, inflatables, gospel, decision counseling, you know, all money, registration. It's kind of nutty and overwhelming, you know. And one of the things that we do, we require so much leadership help to pull off that night that, man, you know, if we didn't communicate, number one, the why behind it, we wouldn't get the support of leaders actually coming. But then laying out really specific their responsibilities, man, the whole night would be in chaos. So what we do is we literally will go to each station and we'll type up, as basic and as simple and as detailed as we can get of here is your job as door greeter person, you know, smile, you know, point number one. I mean, literally, and it sounds dumb, and you're not doing it to like belittle a leader, but you're doing it just to clearly communicate your expectations and responsibilities. And not only when you do that stuff, then you've got it, and then you tweak it and you replicate it, you know, instead of recreating it every year. But I'm telling you, man, communicating that thing, your leaders are hungry for the details. They're hungry to meet your expectations, but you've got to communicate them, you know? And so lay that stuff out. Give them those job descriptions. The next thing is, man, I'd say communicate with your students. That's kind of a duh, right? But oftentimes we start there, you know, instead of, you know, start through our pastors and leaders and really explaining it there. But man, you've got to communicate to your students. Communicate the why behind what you do to your students. You know, a lot of times we'll promote an event and say, hey man, you need to come to this and it's going to be awesome. We have such and such band or free food or these giveaways or blah, 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 right? And we're trying to do everything to make it sound appealing, right? And make it sound fun and make it sound like they're going to meet their future wife there or whatever, you know, and we're like doing all this stuff to do it. And then it's kind of like they get there and then all of a sudden, like, you know, we shared the gospel and maybe we're a little bashful about doing it because the whole time we've been presenting it and promoting it as one thing, but yet it kind of felt like a bait and switch, so we may back off of some of the spiritual things, right? You ever been there? You ever done that? And it's like, man, I don't know if I want to, like, they brought all their friends, and I don't want them to think it's like this big churchy thing or whatever, because we want it to be a first step. Okay, well, that's fine. I mean, I'm all for kind of, you know, setting the hook for whatever, but man, communicate to your students. Be bold about why you do what you do. On Wednesday nights, we've got a big event next Friday night just for our high school students. It's this dumb running around the dark, like, kind of capture the flag game. Again, it's stupid, but we'll have hundreds of high school students that come around and do this thing. And every week, we've been telling our students, you need to come, you need to come. It's going to be fun. You're going to have food. You're going to run around. There'll be some prizes and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the night, man, we're going to share the gospel. It's going to be clear. And you are going to have an opportunity to have your friends respond and be changed for all of eternity. But you've got to be a part of this with us. You've got to be a part of this mission. And so we're going to be very upfront and very, very clear to our purpose, the why behind what we're doing. And I promise you, students want to be a part of that. Listen, they've got enough entertainment and they've got enough events. And by the way, the world can do them a whole lot better than us anyway. They've got a lot more resources, a lot more dollars, you know what I mean? But they want to be a part of a movement, you know? So set in motion your movement and use your events and programming to fit with that. Does that make sense? So communicate to your students. And then encourage your students to communicate with you. This is basic stuff. Some of you guys do this stuff. But who are going to be the greatest cheerleaders for your events? Students, right? I mean, wear them out. Man, we'll take leadership team of students and we'll pull them into a room after Wednesday night and start talking about camp. We'll start promoting camp and signing up for camp in January for camp that's in July. And we'll pull leadership students and say, hey, listen, once a week, put a post on your Facebook or your Twitter about camp, you know, just something random. But man, just, you know, start setting that in motion and training them to be, you know, your cheerleaders. Use your students in, you know, making announcements and dumb videos and whatever, but get them involved in that process to communicate it. The other thing that I would tell you, again, some of this is part of planning, but when you think about communicating, you want to communicate the why, but part of that how is, set a promotion timeline for when you do your events and you do your program. Set a promotion timeline in place. Every event that we do, every big, even a big Wednesday night thing that we want to see, okay, we're going to do something different. We've got a lot. You know, we'll set a promotion timeline in place in our calendar that dates like months back. And I'm talking like, like, when do we start, you know, getting little graphic-y things done, and, you know, and when does this need to be off the print? Who's responsible for this? When do we want our first video to be shown on a Wednesday night? And, you know, okay, so when do we need to start shooting, editing, or whatever, all that junk? So, I mean, set a promotion timeline in place to where you know exactly the track you're on, to where you do it well. And then, by the way, that gives you the opportunity to engage more students in that process, right? Because again, lack of planning is our greatest enemy to creativity and involvement of students. So oftentimes I think after the fact, I'm like, man, I wish we would have done this different. Or we, you know, you get done preaching something, you had a cool theme, a cool idea, and you're like, man, this would have been a cool illustration, or this would have been a cool video we could have done. And you're like, eh, the series is over. You know, I missed it. Well, that's what set up your promotion timeline. And a couple things, again, this is just kind of little stuff, but one of the things that we do when we promote and we look at events and trying to do them really well is we'll look at events through two different lenses. One is a sign-up, and one is a show-up event. And so we kind of divide them into two different categories and say, okay, the sign-up events, you know, where you pay in advance, right, and you know, you register online or you register by pay, whatever, that timeline has to start way earlier than a show-up event, right, where, you know, you show up at the door, pay $5, and you're there, or it's a part of a Wednesday night thing, right? And so we look at them through two different lenses and laying out that promotion thing. And then lastly, I'd tell you is, man, communicate with your parents. Communicate with your parents. And again, it doesn't always have to come through a parent meeting, but man, you've got to communicate with your parents. You can never over-communicate with them. You just can't. Use Facebook, use email, bulk emails, use, you know, websites, use whatever you can do. Use postcards. We use a lot of postcards for events, which students don't ever get those, right? I mean, let's face it, what students check their, like, mail anymore? But we'll send that home just so we know that the parent has something tangible, because 90% of those students aren't coming home to tell their parent. But we still do it, you know, just for that sake alone. Why? Because we want to communicate to our parents, right? When we tell our leaders, oftentimes when they make contacts of students, like Sunday mornings, follow up, man, call them on their cell phone or text that student, hey, we missed you, you know, write on their Facebook wall, all that stuff is good. But occasionally shoot a call home to their home number. You know, do it in the middle of the day when you know they're at school. It doesn't matter, you know, it takes you 30 seconds, leave a voicemail at home. Why? Who's going to get it? Mom or dad, right? And so, because we can contact, I can't tell you how many times we've talked to parents that go, man, my son, he just doesn't want to come anymore. He hasn't been in a while. Nobody's reached out to him. Nobody's talked to him. And then I'll talk to that kid's adult leader, and they're like, dude, I've emailed him every week. I've texted him. I've Facebooked him. I've had other students call him, invite him. I've done all this stuff. And it's like, all right, yeah, you have. Great job. But the parent didn't know about any of that. Right. And so I tell a parent, you're wrong. You're a liar. But man, communicate with that stuff. Find creative ways for your parents to get involved. When we do this big event, we use adult leaders primarily for all of our events. But we created a whole nother realm of stuff called parent partners. They're background check. They don't teach weekly or serve, but they're just our parent partners, and they're on a bulk email list with us. We'll shoot out needs periodically of like, hey, we need some host homes for this, or we need some, you know, people to bring food for this, or we need help just with registration for this event. And man, I can't tell you how many parents we've engaged into taking the next step of being adult leaders and teachers and volunteers in our ministry because we communicated and we express the needs, and we gave them opportunities to get their feet wet. Matt Lawson, who's here, he's the high school minister at Woodstock, and he's just an absolute stud. He'll take a lot of parents with him to camp, which most people will be like, you know, you're crazy. Like, I want like my trusted people, right? But he'll take them and he'll give them a different set of tasks that's not necessarily one-on-one relational with students, but they're background checked and they're there. And he says, man, I get so many leaders. I can cherry pick off of having enough teachers come fall because, man, they've seen, you know, what we do. They've gotten to be a part of it a little bit at a distance, but they've been a part of it. They've seen lives change. Man, they're passionate about it, right? So communicate with your students. Let me just stop right there and ask you guys, what are some things, ways that you guys communicate, or maybe even some struggles with communication that you have, but what have you found to be some useful things for you as you communicate to leaders and parents, students, maybe even some creative thoughts?
I don't know that mine are all that creative, but I sent out a parent newsletter, you know, I write out a parent newsletter, I post a calendar. I was a school teacher as well, prior life, and so I'm pretty organized, structured, communicates, big deal, over and over and over again. I mean,
yeah.
You can send out the parent newsletter, you can send out, I got all my parents on an email list, you know, I can text my parents, and you can repeat something 3 times in a week, and you can see them Sunday, and they'll be like, oh, I don't know, you're just like,
yeah.
You read the parent newsletter? Yeah. But I even ask, you know, I have a parent meeting, you know, and try to set up, go through the schedule for the semester. Like, here's what we got planned out, blah, blah, blah. Here's what we got coming up spring, here's what we got coming up summer. I mean, my youth group's not that big. I mean, our church runs about 350 in worship, and so we have about 20 to 30 youth Sunday mornings, about 40 on Wednesday night, something like that. But so, I mean, I'm constantly reinforcing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times it's just setting the plan and then working the plan. I mean, it really is. It's staying disciplined in that. And again, you can't over-communicate enough, especially, man, the why behind what you do. Because your students, they want to be a part of that. And not only that, but your parents want to know you're doing more than babysitting. You're doing more than just, hey, you need to come to this stuff. Because let's face it, who's paying for all the stuff that you're doing, right? And you sign up for this. It's mom and dad typically, right? And, man, they want to know that they're making an investment into their child's, you know, spiritual development, their eternity. They're going, listen, this is why this is valuable. This is why you need to spend money at this camp versus going and goofing around at whatever, you know, this summer. But you need to come and be a part of this. Here's two more, and we'll go and maybe just do some more questions. But the last two are this. We need to celebrate. I think, man, one of the things that we miss so often when it comes to our events and our programming is that they stop once the event is over, you know? And you've got to plan to your event, but you've got to plan through your event when you think about that and being strategic because, man, we have got to have a plan for follow-up. We've got to have a plan for just celebrating life change in the areas of our students. Man, you know, we started working on this, getting better and better at it this year, and just seeing God really bless us through doing that, and watching how God has just kind of expanded excitement and buzz and buy-in when they go, man, we're celebrating all that we've done. Because let's face it, we get done with an event typically, and for us, our mind is already on the next one, or it's already been on the next one before the first one was over, right? And we're already booking stuff and planning and making arrangements in the office. And man, that thing's done. You cleaned up. You're going home for that night, and you're like, praise Jesus, I didn't lose anybody. Nobody got hurt. Some people got saved. Awesome. Let me go just crash for like 12 hours. And then you get back in the office, and then what? You're like marching on to the next thing you're speaking at, or the next thing you're planning, or the next meeting, right? I mean, you've got to plan in to celebrate. You've got to celebrate. Celebrate baptisms. Celebrate decisions. Celebrate life change that took place at those events and in the life of just your ministry. Even if it's a Wednesday night, man, kids are getting saved. Man, celebrate that stuff. Man, do baptism celebrations, throw parties for that stuff. It's crazy. I mean, we started doing that just this past year, and I guess 2 years ago now, we just started making a big, big deal of students making decisions for Christ and then wanting to get baptized. So we started doing baptism services on our Wednesday nights, and we got a big horse trough, and you know, every 4 or 6 weeks we'll fill it up, throw it on the stage in our student building, and we'll baptize students part of our Wednesday night service in our student deal. And we'll video it, you know, we'll flip camera it, and we'll make a DVD of it and send it to the family, you know, that way they've got copies and all that stuff to where, you know, it's official. But we'll invite their families to come and be a part of it. We'll bring food in that night, and we'll just make that night, dude, a party where we're getting all of our students just erupting, going crazy after every student that we baptize. Why? Man, we want them to see that it's not some stuffy, dry, dusty thing that, well, I got saved. Now I have to get in a white robe in front of all the church, you know, with kind of creepy old school music going on, and, you know, have somebody use some really old school terminology to, now we baptize, you know, all this stuff. And they go, hey, that was good. Okay, when's the service going to start, right? Okay, not that maybe your church doesn't do it like that, but you know, sometimes we do it like that. And I'm like, dude, let's make it a celebration. Let's celebrate life change. And I'm telling you, just from that alone, being intentional about it and celebrating it, we've seen baptisms go through the roof in our student ministry because they go, okay, man, this is what it means. It's a big deal. I mean, God's called me to this. Obedience is something to be excited about. Obedience is something to be passionate about. And we've seen baptisms absolutely go through the roof for us in students. But I would tell you, in celebrating, I'd say, man, celebrate through thank you notes. Write thank you notes to your leaders after events. Tell them, man, hey, thanks so much for volunteering. Thank you so much for giving of your time. And here, by the way, here's just what God did this week, and it couldn't have happened without you being a part of it. Man, you're getting more buy-in that way. Right? Again, they're understanding the why. They're seeing the results. Celebrate that stuff. Some of you guys may get scholarship stuff from people. You ever get scholarship money for somebody for a camp or somebody whatever? Write those people thank you notes. I've got pictures on my phone right now that I've got to write on the plane ride home. I just snap a picture of the check so I remember the person and the address. And I'll write thank you notes to those people and just say, man, thank you so much for giving. And by the way, man, we saw this many people come to Christ, and these people came that wouldn't have been without you doing that. Man, thank you so much. People with the gift of giving, really, the only thing they like in return is just gratitude. I'm telling you that. And so, man, you know, celebrate that. Not only is that a good thing to do, but you'll see more and more, you know, dollars come in as a result of that. So that's free. But do that. Here's the other thing I tell you, man, use every opportunity you can to promote and celebrate your ministry in any form. I mean, you get a chance to make an announcement on Sunday morning at your church, throwing a little nugget about student ministry. Hey, by the way, here's something great God's doing. Let me pray for y'all before we take our offering. Whatever. I don't care. You know, but man, take advantage of those opportunities. We have deacons meetings once a month in our church. We thankfully, as pastors, we don't have to be at all of them. But when I go, man, I'll go and I'll make sure I say something, put something in the agenda about an event we did, or, you know, some things where life changes taking place. I want them to know about it. Tuesday staff meetings with our pastors, I'll let them know. I mean, some of it makes, it's not self-serving. It's about the kingdom. I sent an email out to our pastors at the end of this year and just said, hey, I just want to let you guys know, we just went over the 100 student baptism mark this year. It was awesome. Great day for us. Thank you for being a part of it. Man, we want to celebrate. They would never know that stuff, you know. It's not about numbers. It's about life change, you know, and we want them to know that. At our staff meetings, we're getting that involved. Parents, celebrate that stuff. Use students to testimony videos. But man, listen, man, people like to be a part of a winner, you know. And by the way, man, the gospel is about a winner. I mean, we're overcomers, right? We're conquerors in Christ. And we need to celebrate that stuff. Man, let your success, let the success of life change marinate for a little while before moving on to the next event. Last thought is this, and we'll go, is to evaluate, okay? Man, we need to evaluate. Make sure you're sitting time on the backside of your events to where you're asking. You've done it on the front end, and you're going, okay, what works? What's our plan? What's our strategy for the year? But set on the backside time to evaluate. And regardless of the size of your staff, your ministry, how many, how few leaders, listen, there are people around you that you can bring into a room and sit down for half an hour or an hour to evaluate. It may just be a handful of adult leaders. It may be some student leaders, it may be a pastor, whoever, but man, bring some people and evaluate. Ask them some of those hard questions. What did you think? Do you feel like we accomplished our purpose? What could we have done differently? Send out a little survey to your adult leaders that went and said, hey, what did you think of A, B, and C, or what would you do different? What would you improve? But keep records of that stuff. We have on our little hard drive things, our shared network things, all these folders of all these events, and we save all of that stuff. So that year over year, a lot of times we're doing some of the same things, I can look back at notes and go, hey, we did talk about changing that, and we definitely need to do that, because I'll forget it. As soon as that thing's over, I'm like, it's done. And I want to remember the next thing. Keep records, you know? Keep records of that stuff. Evaluate. Set a plan to be a part of that. And if you don't, if your pastors aren't involved in that stuff, man, ask your senior pastor to come to some things occasionally. You know, and you know what? If you've got some of you guys have senior pastors that aren't super involved or aren't the biggest cheerleaders for your ministry. One of the greatest ways you can get them involved, you need to ask your pastor, say, hey, listen, we've got this event. Is there any way that you can come to it? Even if you came for a little bit, just because I want you to evaluate me. That's going to put you on the hot seat. But you say, listen, hey, I want to learn. I want to develop. I want to grow. Could you come for just a little bit and just watch and observe? Because I'd love to meet with you afterwards just to get your thoughts, and you can help me develop better as a leader. Everybody wants to help somebody else, right? But you're going to get buy-in from that pastor and evaluate, right? So, walk through that process again. It's initiating through it, and it's communicating those plans you got in place, man. And then celebrate, and on the backside evaluate. It's simple stuff, but man, I promise you, man, you do those things with your purpose of being gospel centered in the forefront of everything you're doing, and all those things fitting in a part of that. I promise you'll be more effective. Cool. Any thoughts or whatever? We got a couple minutes so we can go, but any thoughts or questions that you guys may have? And no, I kind of hit you with a fire hose there at the end, but any other thoughts maybe you guys want to throw in or add to that or questions?
Do you have an objective criteria for evaluation, or is it more subjective? Do you guys actually have a form to get through? You pass out the leader and say, hey, this is what I'm going to do.
We do, and it varies from event to event. Sometimes we don't do it for, we obviously don't do it for everything that we do. Typically our big events where it has a lot of leader involvement, we'll send out a form. Typically we'll just send out even in an email, and we'll let them just respond right there, a handful of questions. You know, what'd you think of the speaker? How did the small group lessons fit? You know, what would you change? What would you do differently? You know, how'd you feel this event reached our overall objective or not? Now some of the other smaller things that we won't do that to all of our laity. We'll maybe pull in a room with just, you know, like some interns or a few key leaders. So,
what are your like the purposes that you hold everything up to? You know, mm-hmm. What are those purposes?
For us, it's as simple as, man, we want to reach students for the gospel. Right, we want to reach students to come to Christ. We want to connect them to the Word of God, to adult leaders, and to each other. We want them to grow in their walk, and we want them to serve. And so that's for us. We want everything to fall into that, and then ultimately that they would honor God with their life out of the outflow of all that stuff. But man, we want to look through all that lens of every one of those four things for us. Now I know there's like trendy words and new, you know, whatever those words and terminology works for you. But man, we want to look everything through that lens and go, man, if it doesn't. Now there's some things that we do like Bible fellowship, our Sunday small groups. Well, you're going to touch on a lot of those things, right? Because hopefully you're going to have a lost kid that comes on Sunday mornings and, you know, occasionally is going to get saved. There's evangelism. But for us, that's not our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is connection. For some of you guys, your model maybe it's growth. We're growing. We're going deeper. For me on Sunday mornings, I have so many people that come that's the only thing they come to. And so I, you know, and a lot of them that are coming and they're not bringing a Bible. And so for us to do heavy growth accountability Sunday mornings, the target audience just doesn't fit our purpose for that. So we'll tell our leaders, our primary purpose for our Bible fellowship is connection. We want them to connect with God, get in the Word of God, whether it's a verse or five verses, connect with God, connect with you as a leader, as a mentor, and connect with each other in healthy relationships. If you've done that, then you're accomplishing things. Now, is other stuff going to happen through that? Absolutely. So we're going to hold everything through that lens. Any others or questions?
Flipping them to serve or whatever. What kind of stuff are y'all doing? Like events or plan things or
yeah.
Whatever.
We're trying to get a little bit I'd say further away from a big event-driven service project type things. We do that stuff, and we're still doing more of that in the middle school area. And we're trying to create more of a lifestyle of that through, we use our adult leaders in our small groups, our Bible fellowship classes. I require every one of them, and they've got to email me and let me know. They've got to plan some kind of a service deal through their small groups. They're doing life together in that semester. They've also got to plan at least twice a semester to do an out of class kind of connecting fellowship where they go play paintball, whatever, shoot each other, whatever, Monday night football, go to lunch after church, whatever they do. And so they've got, we're trying to use that. And then we've created a ministry also. We started a ministry called Loft 181. There's in our county, there's 181 middle school and high school girls in foster care in our county. And so we started a ministry at our church. Just our facility works well to do it. And so we have students, girls, it's just those 181 girls that are in foster care. And so our girls donate clothes. They're getting other students to donate clothes. And then once a month, we turn our student building into a store, like a boutique, and we make appointments to the county and government agencies, and they bring in foster care girls, and they shop for free for clothes and things. And so our students are, our girls are very much a part of that ongoing. Our guys are a part of setting up the store, you know, monthly and, you know, wheeling in racks and doing all that stuff. And, you know, and then our leaders are a part of actually, you know, and some of our students are part of like shopping with them and praying for them. And so we've tried to move to more like, you know, rather than, hey, we have this one big thing, we're going to do a cleanup at the yard. We still do that stuff. But to creating more of a movement and saying, listen, we want to be service minded in a lifestyle that's ongoing, you know?
I have a general question. I do have a comment about like, the foster kids and stuff like that. Something also, I don't know if you, it's a need in your area, it probably is with the foster care, is that a lot of these kids grab their clothes, put them in a bag and go, and they don't have suitcases. So a lot of places are doing a suitcase drive along with that, because they don't have anything, that they're moving so much,
yeah,
and they don't even have something to put in, they're just putting in a white trash bag. So I don't know if that's something.
Thankfully my wife heads up a lot of stuff, and then adult leader, because we have an adult leader who connects with that ministry. But that's it. I've never even thought of that. I'll ask him. That's a great thought.
But it's not original. So.
Yeah.